swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. Isn't that something? Now look at verse 11. The angelic messenger said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Isaiah said, "For unto us." But it's something we all must make very personal. Unto you, unto me, unto all of us was born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angelic messenger also said, "They shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." You know, the Bible says that Mary brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. You know, the very manner of his birth, he was turned away from the inn and born in a stable. That is central to who Jesus Christ is. The poor, the rejected, the abused, the forgotten. They all know that they can approach Jesus because he came to us. And he came in a lowly state, a baby born in a manger. You know, people would tremble to approach a throne, but since Jesus was born in a stable, everyone who feels like an outsider, they feel a kinship to the Lord. Look at John 1 and 11. The Bible says he came unto his own received him not. That's powerful. The people of Israel, they knew that their Messiah was coming. God had told them over and over again. How many times have we all heard the Christmas story? God has spoken to our hearts over and over and over again. Moses said he's coming. David said he's coming. Isaiah said he's coming. Jeremiah said he's coming. The prophets of old said he's coming. Daniel said he's coming. Micaiah said he's coming. Zechariah said he's coming. Malachi, the last of the Old Testament prophets, he said he's coming. That's the whole theme of the Old Testament, that God would send the Messiah to earth to deliver his people. And when Jesus arrived, they didn't believe it, and they made no room for him. He came unto his own. He came to the place where he should have been welcome, to his own hometown, to his own family, but they did not want him. I look today, and my heart is overwhelmed with thanksgiving. I'll just go on and say it. I'll just give you a little bit of my past. Some of you don't know it, but I'm a combat veteran from Vietnam, and let's give our Vietnam veterans a hand in here. We got a lot of them, and those that have served in other wars and served our country. But every time I look at my family, at my children, and every time I look at my grandchildren, I have six grandchildren, my heart is overwhelmed with thanksgiving. It carries me back to when I didn't know Jesus as my personal Savior. It carries me back when I was in combat, was not afraid to fight, but I was afraid to die because I did not know Jesus as my personal Savior. But I'm so thankful that when I was 37 years of age, after having struggled for 17 years, come back from Vietnam and just could not get it balanced, I gave my heart to the Lord. I've never had another dream about that since then. And Jesus has become the focal point of my life. To as many as receive him, to them he gives the power to become the sons of God. You can reject him or you can receive him. God leaves that up to us. But think about it. His own people did not want him. They did not receive him. They did not believe in him. And finally, they crucified him. And that rejection continues in a large part to this very day. Some reject him, but others receive him. It's always been that way, and so it is today. Look at John 1 and 12. I love this. It says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you. I love that. I've got a sermon somewhere on that. Follow me, and I will make you. To many as received him, to them gave he power to become. He will give you the power to become what he has purposed for your life. And God has good plans for you. God has purposed something wonderful for your life in a world of sin, in a world of sorrow, in a world of heartache, in a world of pain, in a world of rejection, in a world when we feel like sometimes I just cannot go on. God says, I've given you power to become. Woo, what a Savior. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've given them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Look at verse 13, which were not born of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. That's powerful. You know, while it's true that the world ignores him and his own people rejected him, not everyone ignored him and not everyone rejected him. Look at John 1:12 again. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right, the authority to get out from the dominion of that old lordship of the devil and get into the lordship of Jesus Christ so you could become. Hallelujah. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, I want you to leave that up there, and I want you to notice three key words in that verse there. Verse 12. Number one, receive. That word means to welcome a visitor into your home. During the Christmas season, any other time, please come by and visit us. We want to welcome you into our home. Amen. To receive Christ means to welcome him and to have him make your heart his home. Hallelujah. That's powerful. That God is so big that he rules the mighty universe, yet he's so small that he can find his way into your heart and abide there. And he says, I'm not going to leave you the way you were born. I want you to be born again. I want you to become something. And I want you to receive me because I want to walk in you. I want to dwell in you. I want to live in you. I want to make myself real to you. I want you to experience my love and my power and my grace. Hallelujah. Now, that second word there, believe, it means more than just saying a prayer. Amen. It has the idea of believing that Jesus is the Son of God sent from heaven and trusting him with all of your heart. It means trusting in him so completely that you realize that he is your only way to reach heaven. There is no other way. The way in a manger. It means to make an unqualified committal and a full surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, I've been preaching on covenant, and that word believe, it means more than saying a prayer. It means that I receive you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord. And because of what you did on the cross, I'm going to surrender my total life and my total will, all that I am, all that I will ever be. I'm going to surrender that to your lordship because I want the power to become. I want to walk with someone that's going to make me. That's going to make me into what I could have been and what I should have been. He's going to make me into what he's purposed for my life. Go on, praise God. I tell you, that's powerful when you realize that God came to us so we could go back and be with him forever and ever. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that were under the law, so we could become the sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. He who knew no sin, think about it, was made sin with our sin, so we could become the children of God, the very righteousness of God. That's powerful. Some people live under condemnation, but you don't have to live there. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he takes your past and casts it into a sea of forgetfulness. And then it's up to you to walk in the light of God's glory. The Bible says if we walk in the light as he is the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. I couldn't make it without the blood. I couldn't make it without an advocate. I couldn't make it without his grace. But thank God, I know I can make it because his grace is sufficient and his favor is for a lifetime. And grace is God's unmerited favor. And God says, I put my grace on you once you receive me for your entire life. Hallelujah. He's a great God. He came to save us. And that one means that once we accept him, we should serve him. We make an unqualified committal to God. Number three, look at that word power. The moment you believe, God gives you the right, the honor, the privilege to become a member of his family. I love the church. You know, I love the people in the church. We got some funny ways, some of us. I mean, we just do. But we're a family. We love one another. And I tell Teresa sometimes, I said, you know, everybody's not like us. You know, they're different. Aren't you glad? I am. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that God, when he made us, he makes us and he doesn't make another one of us. He just makes us so we can become like him. To as many as receive him. To them gave he the power to become the sons of God, the children of God, the people of God, the family of God. Oh, what a mystery that God had hidden for ages, that if the devil had known, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I'm giving up on my 15 minutes almost. You know, grace does automatically doesn't run from one generation to another. You aren't a Christian just because your parents were Christians or because your granddaddy was a preacher. I teach every one of my children, I've taught them and all of my grandchildren, I teach them about Jesus. God is a generational God, but the story must be told over and over and over again. Because there is a real devil and he's trying to drag us off and destroy our families and destroy us in a place called hell. But I'm so glad I don't have to go there, and you don't have to go there. God sent us a Savior, Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The truth is you must be born again. And listen to this. We're not born, I read it to you, of the will of the flesh, meaning that you cannot save yourself. We're not born of the will of man, meaning that some influential person, they cannot get you into heaven. You must be born again by the will of God. And the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And here's the truth of the gospel. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is a free gift. Salvation is the will of God. Salvation is by God's grace alone. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Oh, there are some flaws in the church, but you'll meet the greatest people on planet Earth in the church. The church is a gift that God placed here on planet Earth so we could tell people the good story that Jesus came to save. What a wonderful gift. I'll never forget the moment that nail-scarred hand touched my life for the first time, and I came out of darkness into the light. And I look back and I reflect on my life. You can go and praise him. I know you. Some of you are sensing that right now. I see your heads bow. I look back on my life and I think about the last 36 years in walking with the King. Oh, I've had hard places. I've had difficult moments. I've had my heart broken, just like many of you. But Jesus heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. And what a privilege it is to walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and to know that if I were to leave this earth this moment, I would soar straight home. My spirit would, to be with the Lord. Because the blood declares my victory. The blood declares your victory. Hallelujah. He came to us. He came to save us because he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we come to the very end of the story. And that's what we must consider. Is there room in your heart? The no vacancy sign there in Bethlehem, that sign was there for our benefit. God could have made a room available. He could have created a hospital there in Bethlehem if he had wanted to. But God willed that there was no room in the inn, not for the sake of Jesus, but for our sake. And because there was no room in the inn, the final call, it is always an individual choice. The world has no room for Jesus. Will you make room for him in your heart? Will you make room for him in your life? I thought about it. Jesus Christ may be in the Bible. Jesus may be in the church. Jesus may be in the songs we sing. Jesus may be in the cards we send to our friends. But none of that will do you any good unless Jesus is in your heart. In 3 days, Christmas will be here. That's an excitement in the air. My grandchildren, they're excited. My children are excited. And guess what? I'm excited. I love this time of year, don't you? Hallelujah. Families will be gathering around the tree. They will be gathering there to open their presents. Oh, we had Christmas yesterday. Some of the grandchildren, they're going to have to leave today. And we were opening Christmas presents yesterday. And the little children, they were so excited. And, you know, they're counting days and they're counting the hours under Christmas right now. When you receive your gifts this Christmas, what will you do? Surely you do like my grandchildren did yesterday. They opened their presents. What use is a gift if it is never opened? Years ago, God sent a gift wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Jesus is God's gift to you. But you will never, never, never experience the true joy of Christmas until you personally receive him into your heart.
Away in the manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The scars in the sky look down where he lay.
Sister Cricket, come up and have some. Sister Darnell,
the little Lord Jesus, a sweep on the head. The cattle are lowing, the baby
to as many as receives him.
No.
To them gave he power
no
to become.
He makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus.
Lord, won't you give me power to become?
The sky
he sent his greatest gift. Won't you come and open your heart to him?
To
say, Jesus,
is
I want to become what you purpose for my life. Jesus, I need you, and I acknowledge that I need you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed to weep and cry when I think about what he did for me. He took a Marine hardened by war, and his spirit came upon me, and I became. Woo! Go on, praise him. He did the same thing for many of you. You became. You became. And you are becoming. None of us have arrived. We're his workmanship. We're all on a journey. And if you fail, if you've come short of the glory of God, I'm just here to announce good news. His grace is sufficient. You have an advocate with the Father. And if you mean business with God, if you'll come to him and bow out your heart and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Wash me in your blood. The Bible said he's faithful and just to forgive us. He came to us.
In a manger, no crib for a bed.
I receive you, Lord.
Lord,
come into my heart.
Jesus lay down his sweet
I want more of you, Lord. Come in, Lord Jesus. Come in stronger. Hallelujah. You want to come gather around the altar? We have about 2 minutes before 12. Hallelujah. Glory. The altars are open. You just want to say, Lord, I love you. Thank you for coming to me.
Verse 3.
I thank you that I received and I opened my gift. And I come back for more of you, Lord.